I have to start with a little confession. I'm not sure I've ever been more ready to see the end of one year and the beginning of a new one. I know it's arbitrary, this one day. I mean, I know I say every Sunday that each day is a new beginning. Each moment is as well. I still believe that. But this year, this marker of time, from one year to the next, it feels like it matters somehow more than usual. Because I can feel it's not just me. There's this collective need to let go. This collective need for a chance to say, let's start again. Let's set ourselves and our lives on a new course. 2017 has been a hard year for many. Therapists and counselors talk about a meaningful increase in people needing extra support for all sorts of things, but an increase in people speaking about anxiety or depression, struggles in marriages and as parents and as friends. The New York Times, you may have seen recently, they reported there's been a meaningful spike in anxiety in teenagers and in preteens. It's not easy to be a kid or an adult these days. And there is no one precise reason, because it is personal stories of struggle and change and loss that then are mixed together with all the social reasons. A less stable government and country, especially for those of us on the margins, along with high incidence of natural disasters across the globe, paired with a lack of political will to deal with climate change or the insights of science at all. And all of this combined with a growing loss of trust in our neighbors and an increasing sense of isolation and loneliness. We live in challenging times. Being a leader in this church over the last 12 months has allowed me often to witness much of this close up and personal in conversations, in emails, and texts, or Facebook conversations with many of you and with many others, and even more in our work for economic, immigration, and racial justice, to begin to see the stories of so many that are impacted. The stories of struggle and also strength have been piling up in my heart and in our collective hearts as we try to stay awake to all that life today is asking of us. Much of this year has been intense, and sometimes that has been so beautiful, because it has been a challenging year. But I would also say it has been one of the most impactful and vibrant years that this church and our community has ever known. From voting to be a sanctuary congregation and companioning Ingrid, to delving more deeply into our spiritual growth in small groups and classes and in our worship here together, to seeing more people joining and coming and looking for community and committing to each other and to this mission in new and bigger ways. This year, we learned that courageous love often requires a capacity to live with a certain degree of pain, while also still remaining open to grace. It has been sometimes harder, I think, than many of us would have anticipated. But also, we've been for each other in big and small ways, signs of hope and encouragement. And that is the part that is beautiful and inspiring. A couple weeks ago, I heard an interview with Rebecca Traister. She's of the New York Magazine. She was talking about the Me Too movement. It was an NPR conversation. the movement, you know, the Me Too movement, that movement that is bringing to light the stories of misconduct, harassment, and assault that have been too long protected in silence and secrecy. So the interviewer asked her about where this cultural moment of Me Too would go next and what it would really mean for all of us. And Traister responded by saying that this actually would mean nothing if it really was only a moment. She said, anyone interested in making sure that this conversation helps transform the power structures and dismantles the injustices should be aware that they're signing up for a project that's going to last their entire lives. I'm not exaggerating, she said. This is a long haul. Traister's words have stuck with me because I think they could be said about so much of what has been happening this year in our church, in our community, and in our world. So much of what has been revealed, and I say that that way intentionally, that so much of what has been revealed, not necessarily what has happened, but what has been revealed this year, cannot be fixed by way of just a really good New Year's resolution. Or even by a transformational midterm election. And not even with an election of a new president. We are living in long haul times, and this work, whatever the work is of courageous love that's calling to each of us and our shared work, this work is going to last our whole lives. And so my question lately has been about how we'll sustain ourselves and one another through this long haul. Now, I know that many of you, perhaps not today, but maybe if you're brave, enjoy hiking. My family and I, we love hiking too. This past summer, my son and I, we did some longer trips, not too long, he's only 9. But so we've gotten up to about almost 9 miles now, which I think is pretty good for a 9-year-old. He has way more endurance than I do, so I'm trying to keep up with him. But I bring this up because I've realized as I've been hiking these longer distances that the pack you can easily carry at 3 or 4 miles becomes a lot harder at 8 or 9, especially if some of those miles are at higher elevations or involve a scramble, which is particularly challenging because actually when you're hiking longer, you need more stuff. Like you need more water, more snacks, more gear for the weather, which means the longer the journey, the more thoughtful you need to be about what you take with you, and even more, what you leave behind. As we mark this 1 year, this one day passing into the next, we have before us a great opportunity to consider with intention how we will sustain ourselves for this work, our work, whatever that may be, that will take our entire lives. So in a moment, I'm going to invite us all to join in this intentional reflection where we can consider together what we will need to sustain this path, a path that will involve, it already has involved, a few scrambles, and I guess my guess is there will be a few more ahead. And more importantly, what we will need to leave behind and let go if we're going to maintain the strength, endurance, agility, and balance to keep going, even when the terrain is rough and the road feels endless. What we will need to let go of so that we can actually enjoy this trek along the way and all the beauty that is still there. The idea of letting go can sound simple, like just release it. What's the problem? I don't like it anyway. But as the monk in our story reminds us, a lot of the time we can end up picking up stuff that we never even wanted to pick up in the first place and that we don't even realize we've been carrying with us. There's stories and worries or regrets. These things can accumulate and tire us so that even if we are still able to make the journey, it's with less joy than it could have been. And our packs are too heavy. And there's not enough room for the stuff that we actually need. So there are some bowls in the center aisle underneath your chairs with some pencils in them. Those of you who are in the center, if you want to reach down and grab them, you're going to pass it on to the next. Just we're going to try to get everybody a piece of paper and a little pencil.